Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm back home. I'm so happy to be home. Filling in for Michael Heidemann tonight is Lise Graham, who will be running the show and taking your calls if you're nice to her. As Amy Guth always says, if you're nice to her when you talk to her, you might get to talk to all of us. So 312-981-7200. As always, we invite you to join the conversation. You can call or text us to that number, 312-981-7200. Esmeralda, it's good to see you.
Oh, me, you too.
I miss
me
you.
Too.
Well, I hate when I'm in Springfield. I like it. Just you know how it falls out of my head. Like you know that you can always chime in, but I know that you always are like, I'm not sure because she's in Springfield. Just chime in.
No, I know. I bide my time.
you do it very well. I'd like to introduce you to one of our legislators from Springfield. We have in studio with us somebody who's in the news. You all are in the news in Illinois, Representative William Davis. Will, do you prefer Will Davis? Will? All right, fine. Then I'll call you Representative Will. Sure. Or Representative Davis. Which
well,
one?
You know, Representative's not my name.
I know, but I feel like you've earned it. That's why I call everybody by their title. Here's the thing. Here's where I come from. Your constituents and people around the state will call you other names. Take the respect when you can get it.
Okay. Fair enough.
You grew up in Harvey.
Yes.
And studied at Southern Illinois University.
Yes, I did.
Why did you choose to study political science?
Well, I think for a very long time I thought I wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay.
And I don't know if I knew any better that political science is just a random kind of degree, if you will.
Would you say general?
Right? I learned that if I really wanted to be a lawyer, I should have majored in English or something
history
or something along that line. But
I said as a historian, that's why.
Nevertheless, I studied political science and was fascinated by it. You know, I got concentrations in dealing with foreign countries, foreign relations, mm-hmm. and comparative politics. Those were kind of my areas. And I dug learning about other countries and how governments worked and formed in other countries, what have you. But again, I think I still hope to be a lawyer, but I got kind of caught because I didn't really have mentors and things of that nature. So I put myself on a path and I actually graduated in 3 years.
I saw that
from college. And when I got to the end, I really had no idea what to do. So I just enrolled in grad school and said, I'll just kind of figure it out. Had a terrible first semester. Oh my God, it was terrible.
Isn't it jarring, that difference between being an undergrad and like it's those small classes and those intense conversations?
No, actually it wasn't that. It was the lack of structure because
yes,
I go from 2 or 3 days a week having the same class to once a week for a couple of hours. And I was like, what do I do with all this time? You know, and it was just a horrible experience. But I was fortunate enough to be a grad assistant in the admissions office.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who was my supervisor actually recruited me out of high school. So I stayed with her as her grad assistant. And so I said, I'll try it again, enrolled in second semester. And it was going okay. But then I got an opportunity to actually work at the university. So I quit. Well, I didn't quit, but I finished that semester and took a job as an admissions counselor for the university and recruited students all over the state, primarily here in the south suburbs in Chicago.
Well, that seems like a great way to understand how education works and what the backgrounds are of many students across the state of Illinois.
Right. Well, that was very helpful. You know, mm-hmm. you learn a little bit about the K-12 system dealing with, you know, juniors and seniors, but certainly learn a lot about the state university system.
Right.
So when I got elected, and I did that for 6 years.
Okay.
And then when I ultimately got elected, one of my first committees, of course, was both the substantive and the appropriations higher ed committees, because I felt that's where I had learned and I had been working. So I thought I'd be able to use my knowledge and expertise in that way. So it turned out to be a good experience.
What led you to the decision to run for office?
So at the end of my 6 years as an admissions counselor, a friend of mine who had left earlier. Well, I resigned. I just resigned and said, I'll go back to grad school. Mm-hmm. I was ready. Let me go back to grad school. So I did that. And then a friend of mine who was working in admissions who left before was working for actually Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. And she called me one day and said, hey, you know, we're looking for another assistant in the office. You think this is something you might want to do? Thought about it and was like, sure, why not? So I applied and ultimately got a job working in his district office in the south suburbs in Homewood. And I wound up doing it for a total of 5 years, but about 3 years in, I became his deputy administrator. So I was second in the office, and I would spend a lot of time with the congressman. So he'd come into town, I'd pick him up from the airport, I'd staff all of his out-of-office meetings and whatever he needed, and then drop him off back at the airport so he goes back to D.C. But I still had other casework responsibilities. And one day we were riding, and he just simply asked, he said, if you had the opportunity to run for office, would you? And having had the experience of him, mm-hmm. I was like, of course, because I'm looking at how it was for him, you know, celebrity status, you know, a lot of the, you know, A-listers came through his office. I was like, oh, it'd be fun.
He's also Jesse Jackson Jr.
Exactly. You know, so he asked me that question. I said, yeah. And lo and behold, in 2001-2, when they did the remap, the district that I now represent, that person decided to run in a new district. So it was an open seat.
Wow.
Perfect opportunity versus me running against a 10-year incumbent. It was an open seat, and I was fortunate enough to win out of five other Democrats, and then I had a Republican in the general, and it's a Democratic district, so I was able to win.
And what year was that?
I was 2000, well, first sworn in 2003. Been around for 15 years now.
So how many other legislators have been around? Because I know Representative McAuliffe has been there for about 20 years.
Right. So out of 118 members, I am the 17th ranking member.
Okay.
That's both Republicans and Democrats. So the 17th ranking member of the House of Representatives in Illinois.
And so you've seen a lot. You've seen, the entire time you've been there, it has been, it was a Democrat governor from Blagojevich to Quinn.
To Quinn.
And now you've seen the transition to Governor Rauner.
Right.
Who was the president of the Senate while you were in the House?
Emil Jones. Yeah, Emil Jones was president of the Senate.
So, I mean, there is a lot to what, you know, the conversation about where we are as far as a state. And I know that you have so many experiences and how things have, you know, led to this budget impasse.
Right.
But you must have also learned, it sounds as though you've collected a lot of expertise when it comes to education and then having studied political science, the way you negotiate now in all these years of how you get support on a bill, how the, you know, behind, you know, because people always talk about these behind closed doors, backdoor deals and things like that. But you have to build coalitions in Springfield, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you still need 60 votes to pass a bill, whatever kind of bill it is, and sometimes 71 and, you know, 30 or 36 in the Senate. So it does require you to be able to do just that, build coalitions, get to know people, understand them. If you've been around a little bit, offer some expertise, you know, talk to members. Hey, what are you dealing with? You know, you understand the process a little bit, you know, spend some time in the well where the speaker conducts the session from on the floor, you know, go up there and stand and just sit and watch, mm-hmm. just see how he or she, in this case, because Barbara Curry does it now, see how they operate and see how that works. You know, it just helps you to get a broader understanding of exactly how this whole process works.
In the time that you've been there, how has the relationship been with the other side of the aisle? Has it changed dramatically in the last 15 years since you've been there?
Well, I would say prior to the current administration, working on the other side of the aisle was fantastic. It was great. And it's easy for me to say because I was on the majority side. But nevertheless, there were still things that Republicans want to get done. They want to get accomplished. And it required us to do just that. Understand where they're coming from. Understand where I'm coming from. Let me understand their districts and they understand my district, you know. I mean, that's the great part about it. But it just seems like the dynamic has changed so much now under the new administration. And it's primarily because of the politics of what we do. And I get that you come in and you want to do things. You have an agenda that you want to accomplish. But I've learned that there's a way you accomplish an agenda. And it requires working and cooperatively with others. And it doesn't mean you don't disagree. You may never come to agreement on some issues, but there's got to be some common ground somewhere. And it just seems like we're not experiencing any common ground with the current administration. And to hear that he uses his political leverage to stop his, you know, members of the Republican caucus, you know, in both chambers to not want to do the things that they like to do, that's absolutely no way to govern. You know, we aren't going to get anything done. And it's just going to be, it's going to be terrible suffering over the next couple of years under that kind of, I don't want to call it tyranny, but that's what it kind of speaks to, you know, because members should be free to vote how they feel, vote their districts and be able to get things done. And we're just not in an environment where we're able to get things done. And what I tell people when I get asked about, you know, you haven't passed a budget, you haven't, you know, what about my programs and things of that nature? I'm thinking most of those programs are things that I fight for, that I support, that I want to see thrive and flourish. I always direct people back, go look at the governor's first introduced budget and tell me where you stood there.
Right.
That sets the stage for how this whole conversation has proceeded from that point forward. And higher education is probably the most glaring example of where we talk about a world-class state, a well-educated state, but he walked in the door cutting higher education or state universities by 30%. Who can function under that kind of situation?
And that so approach, right.
It's just been downhill from there.
And that budget that he proposed, that was the first one in 2015, which the governor is constitutionally required to present a balanced budget. Was that budget balanced?
I don't know if it was $4 billion, $7
billion. It was about $4
billion. $4 billion out of whack.
Every year it's a little bit different. I know that I think this year it was about $3.7 billion, but it had that line in there about depending on revenue determined by the grand bargain, something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, all that grand bargain stuff was in the Senate, and if you didn't pass one, none of it works. I mean, right. That's a lot of pressure, period.
It was like Jenga. If you pull one piece out.
Yeah, you got to be concerned about what happens there. I mean, that's a lot of pressure on members that if this doesn't pass, then nothing else matters. And again, I'm not saying you don't deal, you don't kind of work through and you compromise on certain things, but the idea of a grand bargain, I think, was just doomed from the start because there was just too many pieces of it to come together. And it made it so that it was very easy for it to fall apart. Again, if one piece in the middle didn't go, even if you pass four or five before that, that was it. That was the end of it.
We are talking to Representative Wilt Davis of the 96th District.
30th.
30th? Where did I get my numbers from?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
No, 30th, out in the South Suburbs.
It's the wrong, someone else's Wikipedia page.
Shout out to the South Suburbs.
Maybe you didn't go to the 96th General Assembly. That's your old page. I was looking at the parentheses.
Okay, there we go.
It does say 30th.
General Assembly. Yeah. There we go.
I was like, did you not go to Southern? What page am I on? Representative Wilt Davis is in the studio. We are bringing Springfield to WGN Radio into your homes and to your cars, to your computer. Follow us on Facebook at Patty V Show. Follow us on Twitter at Patty Vasquez CHI. You can listen to us. If you're like, I really want to hear the rest of this conversation, it's okay. You can go, you know, you can get out of your car or you can go to sleep. Everything is podcast on iTunes. More after this on 720 WGN 3-52. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We have brought Springfield into your homes, in your cars, on your laptops. We are in studio with Representative Wilt Davis. And as many of you know, and I will fill you all in if you haven't been following the show and our adventures, I guess you could call it, in Springfield. On Good Friday of 2015, Governor Rauner's office announced that they were cutting $26 million in funding for programs like the Autism Program of Illinois, the Epilepsy Foundation, Meals on Wheels, various organizations that help support people who are addicted, even smoking cessation, after-school programs.
After-school programs, absolutely.
It was a long list. And that was and here was the thing, Representative, is that, you know, as a parent of a child with a disability, you know that I get constant emails and phone calls and, hey, we have to fight for this and call your legislator. That for me, it becomes background noise, like, because I'm already in a state of emergency, doing the best I can for my son and for my family. The problem was that by Wednesday, I started talking to parents who had gone to programs at Easter Seals and the doors were locked.
Yes.
And the providers were telling them from behind closed doors, we can't help you today. The governor has cut funding and we don't know if we're going to be open. Yeah.
Right. You talked about Good Friday, affectionately called the Good Friday Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony is that they had struck a deal on funding before that. And right. so he just...
They had promised. They had promised.
That's right.
I saw Senator Gutowski. I don't know if a person can blow a gasket, but there were gaskets that were blown.
Absolutely. After we had struck a deal. So again, his walking in the door track record just speaks to... I may say one thing today and without telling you, I'm going to change my mind and do something completely different the next day. And that's a difficult environment for any of us to work in.
Let's reiterate that again. He had struck a deal saying, and these programs had been asked about specifically, will you be cutting any money from this?
Yes.
And he had said,
No.
These programs will not be cut. They are protected.
They are protected.
There is a bubble around them. We will take care of our most vulnerable.
Right.
And then on Good Friday, and not just good for any Good Friday, World Autism Day.
Oh, okay.
They cut the funding for the Autism Program of Illinois.
Absolutely.
And I what was hard, I think, for some of the parents that came down with me to Springfield, we started coming down with our kids and I wanted to start watching the process. How is this sausage made? And we sat in on a committee hearing meeting, and that was when I first saw the way our programs are batted around, and not just for people with disabilities, but education and a lot of other things. But I watched Senators Ryder and Senator Murphy, who I called Statler and Waldorf, like the peanut gallery and the Muppets, just so dismissive. So move on already. The decision's been made. I mean, just yelling at Gutowski, Senator Gutowski, and Senator Staines, who are both they were the chairpersons of the budget
those
and appropriations.
The appropriations committees at the time. That's right.
So the tone was not great at the onset. Do you think that Governor Rauner came in because he had promised? One of the things he ran on was that he promised he would be able to get things. He would be basically run ramshod over Speaker Madigan. And that was what a lot of people wanted. They feel that he has been in control for too long,
been there too long, you name it.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And that he needs to go.
And you've been there pretty much the entire time that he has been in office, when there was a Democrat running the Senate and a Democrat in the executive office of governor.
Yes, I've never known a Republican governor until now.
Until now. Mm-hmm. Did you ever get the sense that he was like this wizard behind a curtain that nobody really knows what's going on? That's what people feel like in the state of Illinois.
Well, I think, and I can only speak from my experiences with the speaker, and I've always had good experiences with him. I mean, one of the things about him is that he listens very intently. And, some people just like to talk.
Right.
And so he sits and he listens. And so I picked up on that very quickly. And I'll say what I need to say, but if there's something that I need or need to ask, I make sure I ask the question, because he's not just going to respond randomly to anything that anybody is saying. You have to ask him a question. If there's something you'd like to do or get done, you need to ask. And at the very least, he'll say, I'll take it under consideration. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it may happen. Sometimes it may not happen. But at the end of the day, yes, he's still the speaker. And as no secret that I voted for him to be speaker, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, I still have to do what's best for my district. He can help in some cases, but it's at the end of the day, only the people in the 30th district in the south suburbs elect me. My district is not his district on the southwest side of Chicago in those southwestern suburbs. It's all about the south suburbs for me. For years on my laptop, I would change my screensaver be a scroll and says, what have I done for the 30th district today? And it's always something that I would just focus on every day. So at least I know when I walk there, I've got to think about the people that I represent.
When people say that he exerts a lot of power, that he will threaten members of the rank and file, that he puts the screws on them to do what he wants.
Well, I don't see it that way. I mean, there have been times where there have been a couple of votes where he would have preferred me to vote differently, meaning he wanted a yes vote or would have preferred one, and I voted no. And
wait a minute, you disregarded his desires? But well, how did you not get sent to an eject button and into a boiling pot of oil something?
Well, if that exists, I have yet to experience it.
But I thought that was what, like, he, but he's that sinister.
Well, unfortunately, that particular
issue.
You
don't have boils on you or anything?
Nothing.
No curses?
I'm doing fine.
Okay.
Doing pretty good these days.
I was misled. Completely misled.
I mean, but some people see him that way. And that's not to say that he probably... doesn't talk, you know, really, if he wants sternly. Something. Yeah, I'm not saying that he doesn't do that. I mean, I think any leader does that. I'm sure Governor Rauner does that quite often.
Oh,
if
does he have the boiling pot of oil?
He might.
I'm just kidding.
He might. But any leader does that, particularly if there's something in particular that you would like to have or like to get done. Now, you know, some of my members who probably are what we call targets, you know, they're in those marginal districts, you know, they probably have to be a lot more careful about the things that they do and the things that they vote on. My district, probably not so much. So maybe I have a little more freedom, if you will, mm-hmm. than some folks do. But I respect my colleagues who are in those marginal districts and recognize that their job might be a little tougher than mine in some cases, you know. But, you know, hopefully for those issues that are important, regardless of what the district says, you know, that they can stand up and support those and be prepared to go back and defend those decisions in their respective districts. And I know you wanted to talk a little bit about education. I would say SB1 is a perfect example of how some members who stood up and stood for kids.
Yeah, that was dramatic.
And made that vote, and knowing that they're going to have some difficult times in their districts in the upcoming election. But, you know, they can defend that vote, and they should be able to defend it. And I'm going to help them defend it.
And I, well, there was an interesting dramatic moment in front of the press box. And we will talk about Senate Bill 1 and what that means for the state of Illinois and how historical it was.
Absolutely.
You know what? You can always join our conversation, 312-981-7200. Break here, and then we'll get the news. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is the representative of the 30th District, Will Davis. Also joining us, Senator Dan Katowski in studio, who gave me an earful last night, even though I don't make any choices.
You know, I don't even...
It's just like, what? You didn't even say
like
hello.
You're the worst therapist in the world. Like,
you didn't even say hello.
Everything. You share everything.
I'm not your therapist.
Dan came in.
You know, Representative...
You, I should say you would make a terrible therapist. That's what I should have said.
No confidentiality. You know
Representative Crespo disagrees with you. I sat down with him the other evening. And I asked him a couple questions, and he said a bunch of things, and then he goes, I feel better now.
Oh, he wants his own slot on your show.
That's he wasn't even on the show.
I know, that's the problem. He's like, I feel better now. He told you you're a great listener.
He's angling for something.
He doesn't know what's going to happen. Like, you come on the show, remember when you shared that with me?
I am going to say, I did it now.
Yeah, exactly. He's you share it. Like, everyone's like,
I'm not your priest. I am not your therapist.
Exactly.
People,
be wary.
Representative Davis, I have no filter, is what he's saying.
Yes.
I already told people yesterday
I've seen your comedy show, so I know you don't.
I have no filter.
None whatsoever.
And how many times did Representative Dury fall asleep on the floor yesterday? 4 times. Anyway, there wasn't any. I think it was lucky he wasn't. I already told the story last night. So, and the pictures are not, you know, I haven't made them public yet. So, okay. Enough. I'm sorry.
People should hear the prelim before you say that. the pictures of him falling asleep on the floor. Which is the House floor,
okay.
Are not public.
We have a listener who wants to get to our conversation about Senate Bill 1. And this is something, so the budget did not pass yesterday, but this was something that was significant and was historical. Representative Davis, can you explain to everyone what Senate Bill 1 is?
Well, Senate Bill 1 is now the evidence-based model way of funding schools in the state of Illinois. Uses a model that has 27 different elements that are data-driven, data-tested, that will allow us to funnel money to schools to allow them to be able to deal with the various needs of students, if they need more teachers, instructional coaches, better technology, social workers, counselors, you name it.
Special education.
Special education as well. So it provides a mechanism to be able to fund that. Some of the unique pieces of it is that what it does is that it creates an adequacy target for every school district, and that is the amount of money that the data shows is needed in that school district per child to educate them adequately.
Would you say this is like an equalizer? Because there are students, poor students that, and I've read the numbers, are receiving 81 cents if they're living in poorer communities with more need compared to the $1 that every student who does not have the same situation receives.
Well, there are two words that usually come into this conversation. That's equitable and adequate.
Okay.
So it is an equitable way but using an adequacy target to help drive that equitable distribution of dollars to a student. So everybody has an adequacy target. Districts that are furthest away from their adequacy target based on what we call their base funding minimum, and that that also includes their local capacity, so what they can raise locally to contribute to this. But the districts that are furthest away are the ones where money will go to first. So some of our richer districts that are at 100%, 120, 25% of adequacy, they will see state money, but it won't be very immediately because they have resources locally to be able to continue to provide that quality education that they've been doing.
What type of resources do municipalities have locally?
It varies. It all depends on what community you're in. I mean, we've seen some communities, say like Pembroke and, you know, in Kankakee area, that basically have nothing to contribute to their districts, and, you know, juxtapose that to some districts up north. In the northern suburbs, we often talk about New Trier, if you will, where they are spending well above adequacy to educate their children. So, I mean, and that's not an indictment. We right. want that.
And the goal isn't to bring New Trier down to another level, like somehow bring one down and then another up. So that maybe that's why equalizer isn't the best way to describe it. That's not what's happening, because as Representative Anderson said, you know, well, there's only one pot, and if you're going to take some out, then you're giving it to somebody and taking it away from somebody else. And a lot of people have been calling about that.
Well, I mean, obviously it takes money to educate kids. And one of the things that we hope to do is we want to be able to adequately fund this model. So our goal for this year and in the House, Democratic version of the budget, there's $350 million set aside for this purpose. Now, that's a number, if you will, but it's a number that we're working with. Now, if the House members want to contribute more, say take it to $400 million, the more the merrier. It just means we move our districts closer to adequacy quicker than we would otherwise. So it really is about truly about putting your money where your mouth is.
Mark wanted to join the conversation. Mark, I told you I'd take you first. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
I absolutely can hear you okay. Can you hear us okay?
Yes.
Excellent. Sure.
First, you know, Representative Davis, I just wanted to thank you for all the time that you put in, and Senator Menard, too, obviously, for all the work that he put in with the education funding. And in full disclosure, like I told Patty, I am a longtime school board member. I am, just so you have background, Representative Davis, I'm a Tier 2 school. So you kind of know where I'm coming from on this. I was one of the biggest losers under the old Senate Bill 16, which was a couple assemblies ago. But the questions I really wanted to get to, and really kind of I wanted to understand the thinking of the commission and the education commission, specifically on the last minute amendments that were put in. As you know, there was some tweaks that happened with two amendments, and one of the amendments essentially looked at PTEL EAV, which essentially took CPS from a Tier 2 school to a Tier 1 school, which means, you know, Patty, just background, I mean, that way CPS will be recognized as getting more money up front, more so than the two Tier 2 schools. And then you have the Tier 3 and Tier 4 schools. Obviously, the Tier 4s are like the new Triers that you were talking about, you know. So
right.
the Tier 1 are the poorest schools. But at the very last minute, they kind of looked differently at the PTEL EAV, and they took averages of it. And Chicago kind of got a $6 billion EAV tax break, which moved them from a Tier 2 school to a Tier 1 school. And what that essentially did – and obviously me being a Tier 2 school, it slashed a lot of the money that Tier 2 schools were going to be getting. And then on top of that, you know, Representative Davis just mentioned the $350 million. If any new money comes in on education funding up to $350 million, that only goes to the Tier 1 schools. So the Tier 2 schools, again, are kind of left out of the mix. And then, you know, so and then also the school funding is not looking at how much districts are spending per pupil anymore. So my district is spending much less than the state average. They're a Tier 2 school. They're going to be hard pressed to ever get to that adequacy unless a lot of money is put in. And I think a lot of people who especially were supporting Representative Davis and Senator Menard with the Vision 2020 and this evidence-based thing, when they saw this happen at the last minute, with Chicago CPS moving to a tier one and the 350 only going to the tier one schools, and then not looking at the cost per pupil, that just kind of rubbed people the wrong way. And I just kind of wanted to understand from Representative Davis's standpoint, why did those things happen at the last minute? Because I know there were a lot of tier two schools out there that were supporting you guys, but then this happened at the last minute and it kind of just left a bad taste.
Well, certainly no intention to leave a bad taste. And you probably already know this. It sounds like you know a lot about what we've done here, is that there are still 200 plus more districts that are spending per pupil more than CPS under this model. You're aware of that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because sometimes the characterization makes it seems like, okay, CPS is the only tier one school, so they're just going to get a boatload of money before anybody else ever gets any money. And there are schools that will still receive money who fall into that tier one category, just like a CPS does fall into that tier one category.
Yeah, and obviously I have a lot of background because I understand while CPS, it might look to a lot of people, they spend a lot of money per pupil. They've got their own struggles, just like Downstate has their own struggles. South Suburbs has their own struggles. I get all that. So, yeah.
Well, but, I mean, if you look at it in aggregate, so, you know, CPS, you know, educates the most number of kids than in any part of the state. So, I mean, you have to deal with the fact that they are the largest school district in the state. They have the greatest amount of poverty that exists as well. So, again, tweaks like that, while people are just seeing them going to, you know, maybe switching from a tier two to a tier one, you know, some of this is just recognizing some of the insurmountable challenges that they have as a district and the fact that they need help. It's kind of as simple as that. So, again, it's not to affront any of the districts that may be offended by what was happened, but you know, formulas like this, you know, they are very technical in nature, very complicated, and when you make certain tweaks to things, you know, things happen. But you know, that kind of tweak was not necessarily just done for CPS. There were some other districts who felt like, you know, because they were PTEL districts, that some adjustments needed to be made for them, because PTEL, you know, is kind of an artificial kind of thing and they would prefer some different kind of recognition. So to say it was done specifically for CPS is probably not a correct statement. But again, our objective was to try to spread this out as much as we can to try to help as many as we can as well. And again, it does require that funding. And if we work hard to put that funding in a budget and that governor signs it, the more we can add to that, the better as well.
And then just one final thing, and thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
And I was at the Alliance meeting down in Springfield, well, back in March, I think that was. You know, I hope going forward, and I know this is a governor thing, right? The property tax freeze is a governor thing. But, you know, I hope, especially the people that really understand how a property tax freeze, especially the legislators that understand how a property tax freeze will affect school districts. Just all I'm asking you as a legislator, Representative Davis, and the rest of the commission that worked on this is keep an eye on those tier two schools, because with them getting no break on the property tax freeze, you know, my fear is we're going to end up turning those tier two schools into those next schools that are going bankrupt because they've got less money coming in. They're not getting the money that's put in towards education. And then on top of that, they're getting the property tax freeze. So just keep an eye on those tier two schools, because I think they are really going to be struggling here in the next couple of years.
Well,
and they already have high tax rates, as you know.
Right. And we've tried to put some other provisions in there to deal with districts that may fall into those categories that have high tax rates. So there's a for low wealth, high tax districts, we're creating a pool of dollars to offer a tax swap that will help bring down some of those rates, be able to make some adjustments with regard to your local capacity. And then for those that are high wealth, high tax districts, we even trying to provide a provision for them. That one is a little bit more forced, to be quite honest with you, but our colleagues who are living in those areas, they claim that their residents are looking for property tax relief, not freeze,
right?
Relief. And I want to be real clear about that. What we're not advocating for is a property tax freeze. Again, that is something being purported by the administration. But
yeah, the governor wants to keep the taxes as the highest that they are in the country. And a lot of Democrats I've heard are asking for property tax relief, and that makes more sense.
Even Republicans are asking for property tax relief.
And I heard an assessor say this, and it was a great point. And there is really no such thing as a property tax freeze, because an assessor is going to your property tax values, no matter if there's a levy or not, could go up or down. The only way you get real property tax relief, and you'll appreciate this, Representative Davis, is actually by putting more money into education, because that's the highest portion of our property tax bill.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mark. It was great to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a great conversation. More after this. Anyone can join us. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. Again, that's 312-981-7200. If you rather tweet, it's at Patty Vasquez, CHI. And on Facebook, it's Patty V Show. More after this in just a moment. Just playing music that you know I'll dance to. You're like, let's see if she dances to this. She'll dance to this. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Riding sidecar tonight is Senator Dan Katowski. Thank you so much for heading down here. Congratulations on your son's graduation, by the way.
You know, they call it a promotion ceremony now.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, promotion. He's been promoted to high school. He got a big promotion.
Then. He got a big promotion.
He got a big promotion. I'm really happy for
him. I guess that means my 5-year-old got promoted to kindergarten.
I know. Yeah. That's what they had. Okay. But did you remember? I don't remember going to have a kindergarten graduation when we were kids.
I did not either. There was no graduation.
Right?
No.
It's like, I think I do remember that.
People get off of work. Oh, my kids graduated from kindergarten. I'm like, really? it's a big ceremony. It's a big deal.
No, I saw one for a preschool graduation. Oh, I saw a photo was posted for that.
I saw a kid got a new car from his parents for a preschool graduation. I'm just kidding.
I got a couple of those from the preschool graduation.
Do you got a couple of those?
A couple of those photos. That's all right.
They're fun, but they're also like, what are we, you know,
what are we celebrating?
What are we doing here? Yeah. We're celebrating everything. I want to have that talk with my kid later on in life like I did with my father and my dad saying to me, you know, maybe I should have given you a few more compliments. I want to have one of those conversations instead of like, you know, we complimented you on everything. You know, you were awesome. You know,
I'm flashing to whether or not we compliment Griffin on everything. He's stubborn. We try to have those conversations.
I give my dad made me work for it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, and now that he's 86, he's like, he's just replete with compliments all the time. So it's like, he's like on the back end.
He was saving him up.
Yeah. But when I was a kid, it was like, you know, you got to work for it. Right. And
right.
then but with my younger guy, I'm like, oh yeah, you know.
You know, I don't think my
I'm
dad.
I'm so proud of you and you're awesome. And you know.
Yeah, I don't think my dad ever hugged and kissed me till I was, it might have even been more so when I went to college, like once I left the house. Like he used to call me all the time. He didn't realize how much he missed me until I left.
Right?
That would make sense, but yeah.
It's so hard to miss you until you leave.
How much he loved me, I guess, is what I meant. He used to come down to Springfield, where did I go to school again? Champaign, excuse me. It's been a long week.
Okay.
You know, speaking of things we would like to celebrate, we can't celebrate having a budget, can we? Can't celebrate that. No.
Not yet.
No confetti, not yet.
I'm optimistic.
You and Representative Kiffewick can go stand in the optimistic corner, because I don't know anybody else that's optimistic.
It's a few of us.
Sorry. It's a lonely corner, isn't it?
That's right. You know, Representative Manley always looks at me and she says, is it going to be okay? And I tell her, it's going to be okay.
Senator, what are you shaking your head? You're saying yes, it's going to be okay?
No, I like Will. He's a good man. It's a good man. I mean, we worked together. We used to work together on budgets. We negotiated
budgets, and
we passed budgets. That was when it wasn't a novel concept.
I know. It does seem to be a novel concept.
It's really not that hard to do it. You just put it on the board and you vote for it.
That's right.
You know what? You know what I have? You know what you miss is this. You know what we need to play is this.
Ooh, yeah.
Have you missed it?
What is that?
Have you missed your sound? Have you missed your soundtrack?
Do you like?
Oh, you got.
Oh,
music?
I had it. Oh, yeah.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
This is it ought to be a law.
Yeah.
And there's a gentleman here who wrote the lyrics, and of course I would have lyrics like the guy Tim Meadows, the Ladies Man lyrics. You know, I don't know why that came. Why that was? I don't know what the connection is. But
it's a beer commercial.
It's a beer commercial. Well, it's like you want to be a player music. I don't know where it came from. But it was it's outstanding.
Hey, you and Billy D. Williams.
You and Billy D. That's what they call me. They call me Blue Eyes Soul down in Springfield.
Here's the music we've been playing these days for our Budget Crisis Corner is this. I don't know why you're so optimistic, sir. This is what it sounds like in our heads. Your constituents are feeling this way.
Oh, boy. I remember being in there was a tornado. Do you remember they called there was a tornado in the area? At the Capitol, and we all had to get down to the tunnel
by the cafeteria.
Right. And we were all jammed in there like cattle, and people were like, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm like, "Not good." Deep breaths.
Well, you know what? Again, we're all taking deep breaths because we're waiting for a budget.
You could use that. You could just get a tornado and bring people down and say, "Look, we're going to keep you down in this tunnel. We have a budget."
So, should I play this?
I need to borrow that.
I will bring this.
I would like to borrow that the next time the Republicans start. You know, doing their thing.
Yeah.
I get my time and just hit the button.
Let's do that.
That would be great.
Let's talk a little bit more. You have to see the mics were cut off when people were trying to debate on his SB1.
Did that happen?
That happened yesterday. Yeah.
What?
Leader Lang held
a very strict time limit.
I was watching. I'm like, I think that guy's still talking.
Yeah, that happens.
312-981-7200. Join our conversation anytime. I've invited Robert Martyr to stop down. If he gets the right elevator, we'd love to have you in studio. But I know that it's, you know, whatever it takes. 312-981-7200 for everybody. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And we're just rolling right along. We have been hanging out with Representative Will Davis of the 30th District. And he has passed a historical piece of legislation yesterday that went passed out of the House, went into the Senate, was passed in the Senate. And
yes, it was.
Now you have put a hold on it. Not you. Somebody's put a hold on it. Wait a minute. It's a procedural hold, and why have you invoked it? Those are the words I wrote down in front of my face.
The Senate invoked the hold, but, okay. I mean, walking into that, the governor said, I'm going to veto it. So, you know, let's delay that veto a little bit longer. Maybe there's an opportunity to talk, get some Republicans on board, you know.
You're still optimistic that that is possible?
Well, I mean... Yeah, I'm always optimistic.
Senator?
It's Will Davis, man.
All right.
Always.
He's always working it.
Always optimistic.
What has demonstrated that there was any way to compromise on anything in the last 3 years with Governor Rauner? What? Why is that funny?
Well, you can't leave a broad. You can't blanket everything. There might be a piece of legislation that actually
maybe he won't throw his Republican colleagues under the bus this time.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe he'll.
Ooh. Speaking of buses.
Unfortunately, it's happening.
That's a great transition. This is awesome.
I'm working it tonight.
You worked that. That was good.
You were so good. He's a natural.
But the question is, where was Brian Quijada sitting on that bus that the governor threw
what
the Republicans
bus?
Under?
What bus?
The bus.
It was a Vega.
Was it a Vega?
It was a Vega.
I prefer those little Volkswagen buses. Is it a little bus? Is it a bus with a lot more wheels? You know, like it's a thunk, thunk. You know, so another round goes over them. Does he back up the bus?
You say throw under the bus. No, actually, they're in front.
Oh, they're whoa.
They get run over.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then he comes backwards.
Right.
And hits them again.
That's where you yeah.
That's
the beep.
That
beep,
explains.
Beep beep beep. Oh my God! And they go back. Oh, what'd I do? Right, so it's a double whammy, right?
And then he goes, da-dunk, da-dunk. And then he goes, what was that? And somebody yells. Somebody goes, speed bump.
You ran over somebody. So, oh, my God, let's move forward. After they've already done the damage. We've seen that
See,
before.
Now we know. Okay, so now we know. Michael Madigan does not have a big pot of boiling oil, but the governor drives a big bus.
A big bus.
Like
that huge wheel.
Among wheels. Brian right. Quijada joins us in studio.
Did you ever watch Speed Racer? The Mammoth,
I did.
The mammoth
yes!
Car and Speed Racer? It's the Mammoth Car and Speed Racer.
You know what it is? So I had me. One of these darn cookies. I'm all geeked up now.
It's all the sugar?
Fudge yeah. Stripes.
He's like,
all that sugar.
Kick
like,
it in.
He's like a gremlin, but instead of water, don't give him sugar
don't
after
mentioning
sugar. That's what happens. How much sugar is in there? 1,000 grams?
Brian Quijada joins us in studio. His Jeff award-winning play. He's back in town with Where Did We Sit on the Bus?
That's right.
Playing right now at Victory Gardens.
Yeah.
You had a performance yesterday. You only have three more. No, two more now.
Two more now.
Two more now.
We're at the home stretch.
Hopefully people still have time to go see you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You can come here and just watch him through the window.
I'll be here all night.
So you grew up in Highwood, Illinois.
That's right.
The district represented by Scott Drury.
That's right.
Wakey, wakey, Scott. Anyway, I wanted to throw things at him. Go ahead. So
he just literally woke up and he turned the radio on. He's just like, just talking about me.
He's still on the house floor and he just, whoa. He's listening. He's
Senator, the staff photographer, John, who's the staff photographer for the House of Representatives.
You are making people famous who shouldn't be famous. I just want you to know
John had to work around Scott, Representative Drury, to take shots, the photographs of Representative Will Davis as he was standing on the floor debating this historic piece of legislation.
Scott did vote for it. And so
you know what?
He knew which way it was going.
I appreciate.
Did you go like this?
Yes,
was it one of these?
Which part of REM sleep was he in when he voted for it? That's what I want to know.
There were a couple times where he did this. He did one of these where his head, like, you know where.
Whoa, I'm in. Right?
he knows that I know. He kept, because I had my camera up. I was like. I was trying to bribe John to get me some really good shots.
10 minutes before, he would have been falling over the cliff in the dream. Like, no!
So that's the representative for your parents' district right now is Scott Drury. Yeah, I'll do some little spitballs out the next time I get a chance. So you grew up in Highwood. Tell us a little bit about Where Do We Sit on the Bus? Where the genesis of this? Because I love your story.
Yeah. I mean, I think the title of the play stems from this experience that I had in third grade where I asked my third grade teacher where the Latino sat on the bus. And you should know that Highwood, at the time that we moved there, Highwood, where I grew up at the time, we were the first Latin family on the block in this, you know, Italian block. And it's an Italian town. So it was like a class of, you know, all white kids. There was one African-American kid, and his name was Greg. And I remember raising my hand when she was teaching civil rights, Rosa Parks. And when I asked, where did we sit on the bus, she was hesitant. She took a little bit of time to kind of come up with an answer. And either she didn't know or... we've talked about it now because she's since come to the show.
He talks about it in the show.
Lovely. She's lovely. She's lovely. And you know what I mean? Like, it was, she actually.
Do
she,
the
she,
voice.
She,
do, you,
no,
you
no,
had,
no,
do the voice.
No, no, no.
You had to do the voice. You did the voice in front of her. You can do it. No. Come on, do the voice.
She doesn't sound anything
Don't
like
Don't make
this.
Me do the voice.
You do the voice. I love you. She just sounds, she's like, they weren't around. She's not. She wasn't like that. It's purely this character dramatization that I do. And she's very sweet.
Two packs a day or something.
No, but she's lovely. Of course, the play is heightened. It's dramatized.
She doesn't really
sound like that.
I don't know.
She also has, like, in my play, the character has, like, a kind of like a hunchback, but she didn't. She's lovely. She's amazing. We've reconnected, and she's awesome.
So how many years ago was she your teacher?
Okay, you know, like, actors.
20 years ago.
Is it really 20 years ago?
Over two decades.
Never ask actors how old they are.
No, I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
You're a man, that's why.
I sit on.
Well, because if you do the math, if he was in third grade.
Yeah, he seems like he's really sensitive about his youthful appearance. Being 25 and all.
Okay,
I feel terrible
I'm
for
projecting.
Him.
I'm obviously projecting.
No. It's totally
Thank
fine.
Thank you for recognizing that. But you're very young.
You think that I only throw you under the bus. I'm under the bus
no,
going,
it just hurts
let me
more
out.
With me. It just hurts more with me. Yet.
I know. Just wait, everybody. It'll be your turn. So she came to see the show.
So she came, and it was lovely. I mean, she doesn't really remember saying it, but, you know, she's kind of gone through this kind of, you know, she apologized to me, and I was like, no need to apologize. First off, I do vividly remember that in school, but, like, it didn't mess me up. I mean, maybe it did. No, it didn't. I messed up already. I messed up for other reasons. But, you know, that it was a very it made me go home and ask some very valuable questions. And I don't think that it's... She was just the messenger. You know what I mean? It's not her fault
She
took me out of history. Textbooks and, like, the way we teach, you know, American history and the civil rights and, you know, took me out of history. It took us out of history, I say. And, you know, that is a hard question to find. I mean, like, since doing research on the show, it's not written about very much
in depth.
Mm-hmm. She wasn't wrong.
Is this something I should apologize for?
No, no, I mean, no.
Yes.
And that's your history.
Yes. You know what it is? It's the African American.
God have attention. Black guy on the show is going to apologize, right?
No.
This is amazing. No, Can you imagine? If, like, you know what? We're sorry. We took a lot of attention. Yes. We've dominated the conversation.
No, it's
for
not
a long
even
time.
Later. I mean, I can hear it now. He asked that question during the show, and somebody goes, "In the back."
It's a very self-centered,
In the
history.
Back, and that's the thing is that like,
did we sit on the back? In the back?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was a thing. If you passed as white, you sat in the front. If you didn't, you'd sit in the back.
Well, then I might sit on the front then.
Yeah, no, that's true.
The Irish,
right?
Yeah, it's the Irish part.
But yeah, so it's not like it's also like she wasn't wrong by saying they weren't around. That's the answer she gave me. She said they weren't around. She wasn't totally wrong. I mean, Latinos did not make up the majority of.
They were not on the bus that day.
Exactly.
What was that?
Exactly. That's what she gave me. They weren't around that day.
What was the Latino population like in Birmingham?
I mean, not a lot. A lot of them were asked.
Maybe look things up now.
A lot of them were told to just keep moving north. A lot of them went to Canada. I mean, I have cousins who live in Canada. Anyway, they were told to just keep moving north.
I went to perform in Birmingham, Alabama, about. 12 years ago, they opened their Homeland Security office when I came in. So
you told a joke during your show about Birmingham.
Yeah, I really hated my 3 weeks in Birmingham. A lot of wonderful people. I just didn't meet any of them.
Dennis Miller used to be really funny about Birmingham. He's like, Alabama, talk about Darwin's waiting room.
Yeah,
really funny.
Let me see if I can. Birmingham is wonderful.
Are you looking up the Latino population in Birmingham?
Yes.
But the point
now?
Is, right?
That
point
no,
is like,
the history.
Oh,
the
history.
The bus situation all across the country, I guess. That's the concept, right?
It speaks for a larger story. And it's not like this historic. The show is, trust me, not a historical. Like,
no, there's graphs.
Let me break down the history.
What's he doing
it's
in
not,
Birmingham?
In fact, John Leguizamo has a show called Latin History for Morons. He's doing that. He's doing that solo show in New York right now. So that's what he's doing. The show is kind of, to me, an autobiographical kind of dive into how I found my racial, cultural, familial identity.
Oh, we're not even on the graph in Birmingham for the population.
She's locked in. Yeah. You're locked in.
It's going
to
be tough to find.
We're not on the bus. We're not even on the graph.
Yeah,
I don't know what's happening.
You.
Is that one of those things where if the percentile is low, it just doesn't show up.
Yeah, it's just percentage white, percentage black is all I have on this graph right here. All right, I'm gonna keep looking. Go ahead.
Interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
The play starts off with me when I did it a year ago. I did the show a year ago at the Storefront Theater.
That was a great venue.
Yeah, great venue. Huge venue. Yeah. Very big.
Big. Is it weird now at the Victory Gardens?
It's a lot more intimate. I kind of like it. I like face to face. People are feeling my spit, and it's like they're doing Gallagher type like.
You have
tarps. Yeah,
tarps for the front row.
No, it's very nice in that space too. It's intimate. I was married at the time, and the show starts off in a proposal where I propose to my Austrian Swiss now wife. And then kind of freak out that I have no idea how we're going to raise our children. Because that's the next step, right? You get married and then you're like, oh, let's talk about the knife sex, which are clearly like having kids. And being like, okay, well, how are we going to raise this mixed kid in America? What's the story that I'm bringing?
It's a party, let me tell you.
It's a party.
It's a good time. It's not white enough to be white, not Mexican enough to be Mexican.
Yeah, that's how the play begins. And then I dive into kind of how I find these identities and find art. And
You actually like birth yourself.
From the very beginning.
He does. He births himself.
Outstanding.
Outstanding.
He's very flexible.
It's a remarkable feat. He won 2 Jeff Awards for it. That particular.
And the Jeff Award for solo performance for that one scene.
For self-birthing. The award goes to
Brian Quijada.
So Brian, know,
come up here, Brian. Accept your reward.
Did you come out feet first, or?
You know what? Actually, I came out like elbow out.
Interesting.
Wow, you went into detail with your mom about this?
Oh yeah. Sure. I mean, I mean, for the sake of the birthing scene, right? Yeah, for the sake of doing research on this play, I'm just like, how did it come out? She's just like, it was the worst. She's like, it was the most painful thing. We were in there for hours.
Oh my
you
god.
You wouldn't. I was just like, I was just doing elbows. I was like an MMA fighter in there.
I'm really hoping Griffin never asks me because I don't want to.
No. I mean, if he writes a play, you never know.
I know, because all I remember is my husband going down to look. He goes, oh, look, there's his head. Oh, it's gone. Oh. More after this on 720W. I call it Prairie Dog and the Baby. More after this on 7 for tickets. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We've been hanging out with Representative Will Davis. I didn't give you any really. I told you could stay as long as you want. You didn't think I'd be here this long, did you?
Nick? I wasn't sure. Yeah, but, you know, I got Katowski.
I don't know, how do you leave?
There's Mr. Quijada. No, right. Absolutely.
You never. Right. Now it's a party.
Mr. Quijada.
Mr. Quijada.
It sounds very serious.
Say we are truly multicultural.
Then I asked Mr. Quijada to take care of business for me. And then Mr. Quijada walked in.
You got it.
And nobody left.
Senator Katowski makes fun of me for the way I always correct people to pronounce my name.
It's Vasquez. Oh, yes.
It's Vasquez.
It's Vasquez. I'm like, take it easy.
I spent most of my life saying my own last name.
¿Cómo está? ¿Cómo está? Vasquez.
Chilequiles. Esmeralda, am I still saying that incorrectly? Chilequiles.
No, you're saying that right.
Esmeralda. She laughs the way I say.
Are you going to Esmeralda?
What did you say?
Well, no, Esmeralda. Yesterday you were saying chilequiles. And it's like, okay.
No.
Calm it down a little bit.
That's.
Chilequiles. Chilequiles. I have to make those tomorrow. I got to make some chili.
Yeah, you sounded a little Taco Bell dog-ish.
This is terrible.
Yo quiero chilequiles. We were hanging out with Senator Dan Katowski and performer, writer, Brian Quijada. Who has won? He's a Jeff Award-winning performer for his solo show, Where Did We Sit on the Bus? And it is running at Victory Gardens for two more performances. Where do people get tickets for this?
VictoryGardens.org.
Excellent. And how has the reception been? I mean, because it's so much fun to even like see you after the show. People must love that.
Great. Yeah, no, it's awesome. It feels like, honestly, it feels like a homecoming. It feels like, you know, we did the show a little over a year ago here in downtown the Loop, and I went to go do it off Broadway. And it went great.
Who did you meet there? Whose dad did you meet?
Oh, Lin-Manuel Miranda's father came to the show. Yeah, he's like super slick. He's such a cool dude. He's just like, you know, he's got his like long hair slick back, and he looks a lot like his son.
Yeah, he looks
like a lot like his son. He just came up to me, and I don't know who told him that I was getting married, because we closed the show, and 4 days later I got married. For the New York run, and he's just like, congratulations on your upcoming nuptials, and I love the show, and yes, thank you so much. And I'm like, great, are you going to invite your son?
Like, exactly.
I mean, I didn't say that, but I was just like, oh, I hope he does. That'd be great. But like, it was an honor to meet him, and I was just like, you should know, thank you so much for coming and gracing us with your presence. You and the fam, send love to you and the fam, and yeah, it was great. And then we went to Boise, Idaho. What the thing that's crazy is that
during the year that you've been doing this was before the election.
Yeah, so like this premiered during an Obama administration, you know. We would get out of some shows and we would go into the lobby and we would watch the Trump and Hillary debates. People would just come because they knew what the play was kind of. I didn't really talk about this to you guys, but the play kind of devolves into this kind of like call to action with like immigration, considering, you know, my parents came here. They were undocumented. And anyway, the play kind of gets political. So we would just invite people. We'd write this post being like, hey, listen, after tonight's show, we're going to watch the debates. And we did the off-Broadway run during the debates. And then we did it in Idaho this past January. We were there for his inauguration and for his first 7 days in office. And now we do it after the completion of his 100 days and waking up to news. I mean, it's just crazy. Like doing this show, waking up to the news every single day.
Co-fei-fei.
Yeah. It's co-fei-fei. Yeah.
Co-fei-fei. How do you pronounce
co-fei.
It?
I don't know. I just like the way Will said it.
I know. Co-fei-fei. You're right.
That was good.
I thought it was the cookies.
Thank you. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Representative Will Davis of the 30th District, passing some historic legislation yesterday. Not a budget, but that's not all on you. And neither was this. This was team building. This is working with others.
This was a step.
This is working well with others.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about how people don't work well with others globally in just a moment. Also joining us is Senator Dan Katowski, the CEO and president of ChildServe. You can go to childserve.org, but childserve.org. Why is the E not there, sir?
Because the work isn't done yet. We have to build better lives for children so they can reach their potential.
And always a pleasure to have you in the studio. I know you've been doing a lot of work lately, been very busy, so it's good to have you back. Scott misses you dearly and says hello. He does.
Thank you.
He was like, where's Scott? Where's Senator Katowski? Also joining us in the studio is, I have to mention it.
Absolutely.
We also have Brian Quijada in the studio with us. He is in town, back in town for his Jeff Award-winning performances in Where Do We Sit on the Bus? You can go to victorygardens.org for ticket information. There are only two more shows. What day? Friday and Saturday?
Friday and Saturday at 3.
At 3 p.m. both days?
Both days.
Let me see if I can come see it.
Is he going back to New York too? You gonna do it there?
We just got nominated for. I'm going to the drama desks, which are so there's the Tonys, which are like all Broadway, but then there's the drama desks, which are Broadway, off Broadway, and off Broadway. It's basically all New York.
Sweet.
And we're going on Sunday, so that might change. I don't know. I mean, who knows? That might change. I mean, I can't imagine. I don't know. Who knows?
Might go back to Boise.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Might go back to Boise.
Yo, man, I don't think so. Hey, we'll root you on. I can tell you don't want to jinx it.
Senator,
I'm not jinxing it.
Senator, Representative, if you have a chance to go see this show, I recommend it. You have only two more chances. 3 o'clock Friday, 3 o'clock
Saturday.
That
sounds awesome.
It's really good.
I mean, I'd love to go.
It's dynamic, higher energy, live music. It's all from, and he runs it all from an iPad.
Live music?
Yeah.
I play a whole bunch of instruments. I play the ukulele, the harmonica.
I was like, you might not remember. Remember, you play this little thing. The little
keyboard. it's looping. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It's like layered music. So I'll
do we have some audio? Is there a website you can forward to Lise that we can play on the air?
You can find my tracks on YouTube.
YouTube, Brian Quijada on YouTube. We can play some of that in a little bit.
Is it under Brian Quijada or Mr. Quijada?
Mr. Quijada.
Code fame.
There you go. By the way, I just got a text from comedian Paul Farvar. He wants to know if there are any donuts in studio.
Oh, yeah. Paulie, there isn't, but there's these... Fudge stripe donuts.
And I haven't even had a chance
imported.
They're very good cookies.
I have to offer one to our friend Michael Silver. He is a performer and a physicist.
Yeah.
He is at Northwestern University, grad student and PhD. He does stuff like bending lasers and stuff.
Yeah, laser town. It's just fun. I play with lasers and crystals all day. Yeah,
exactly. He's had high security clearance, and we won't say where. I'm not supposed to know about these things.
If you didn't want anybody to know, don't tell Patty.
All right.
Have I ever told you that my husband says I would be terrible in the resistance?
Completely.
During World War II.
This is what we're going to do today. We're going to Normandy. Stay away from the beach.
It will be televised.
He's like the Nazis show up at the door. You're like, I don't know where they are, but they're definitely not in the barn under the hay. Also joining us is Adam Selzer. He is a historian, a tour guide, ghost tour guide. What tours do you have coming up?
I've got a few of them coming up. We've got some H.H. Holmes walking tours coming up. I've never tried to do those before, but it's kind of a deep dive into H.H. Holmes' activities in the Loop. I can trace him to about 100 places around the city, but most of them are in the Loop.
I thought it was further south.
He's most known for places further south, but it's all vacant lots now. I've been doing tours that go down there for years, but it requires a bus and everything. That drives the price way up. So for a much lower price, I can do walking tours in the Loop. There's one this Sunday, and there's one next Sunday. You can get tickets to both of them at mysteriouschicago.com. And then in a couple of weeks, I'm doing a tour at Graceland Cemetery as well.
Wow.
Oh, hey, my H.H. Holmes book was in the New York Times today.
Excellent.
So I think I'm fake news now.
You are.
You made it.
I've made it. I've cracked the fake news. Well, I was in Washington Post a couple of weeks ago, so that's probably also fake news.
No kidding about that.
H.H. Holmes himself was basically fake news. So.
Michael, you text me. Whenever Michael texts me, I know that he's got a bee in his bonnet. Do you mind if I tell people that you wear a bonnet?
No. I'll wear my gay bonnet tonight. I'll play that hat. I'll be all the bonnets.
I didn't know that stereotype.
I wasn't making that stereotype.
Oh, no, you weren't. I am.
You did help me get my first death threat on the air. So that was that's my favorite things about hanging out with you.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you asked to be on the show, I'm like, absolutely. Because it was the most terrifying night of my life.
Just rolling those death threats. Like, come on.
It was just good stuff.
Was that on the Gay Pride night?
It was Gay Pride night. Okay. It was right after the Pulse shooting.
Yes, it was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are we almost at a year?
Almost, because it was last summer. Yeah.
So when you text me, I'm like, you come on the show. No, because you're always very passionate about what's going on internationally and in politics. Obviously, you know that I'm involved and want people to know more. And you as a physicist, I would say you're kind of a scientist.
Yeah, a little bit.
So he knows things. He's studying things.
Absolutely. I've always wanted to be affiliated with kind of a scientist.
Kind of a science. You're a scientist.
You're a scientist.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How frustrating are days like this?
So the speech was the most frustrating thing.
Let's go ahead and let people know what it was that frustrated. President Trump announced that we are
withdrawing from the Paris Agreement, and it's very much an agreement. None of it's law. Right. So, like, people are like, well, yeah, because coal. And it's like, well, no, like, it said nothing about coal. It really didn't. It said we reduce emissions, whatever that means for our country. Like, building high rises near better public transit is going to reduce emissions. There's a ton of options for this. It doesn't mean we have to reduce jobs in the coal industry. He said we were being like that we couldn't, under the Paris Agreement, build new coal mines. There's one literally opening this weekend. He said that in his statement today. Don't tell me that that's because you were withdrawing. Like, that was planned. That was underway.
Well, and we're not technically withdrawing until 2020 anyway.
Yeah, because it's a process.
Right.
So. But it's just so frustrating to me. Yes, the withdrawal is based on probably a vendetta against the previous administration, a promise that he made during his campaign that he probably didn't understand, still doesn't. And
that promise being bringing coal jobs back.
Oh, no, I think the straight up he said, like backing out of the Paris Agreement.
Okay.
And it was words he probably didn't understand what that meant. And he still is just like, cool, this speech looks really good and it sounds great.
Does it sound great?
It does, if you want to believe it. But I was like, cool, I'd never heard some of this. Let me look it up. And it's 90% just blatant falsities. Like
Tell us some of the falsities.
Oh, boy. He's like,
catch on not swearing there.
I am. Oh, no. All day today, I was just thinking of these words, and I'm just like, no, you're going to be on air. Because I am up in arms about this, and it's how he's just spouting.
I told you there's a bee in his bonnet.
Untruths. Like, it's horrible. So one big one is he was like, well, China, you know, his favorite, you know, scapegoat, China, is they don't have to do anything to their emissions until 2030 is what he claims. And so I'm looking this up and I'm like, no, actually, every 5 years there's a check-in for every country that's agreed. And all the check-in is you go over progress of emissions. You talk about the programs or policies you've created, how much money you've spent doing this, just a bunch of numbers and statistics. Well, turns out China has already done a ton. And the 2030 mark was them saying, at this point, we will be contributing at an amount that will help one of the main goals, which is have the elevated temperature of the planet below 2 degrees. Since we started taking records, which was 1880. So in 1880, we kind of look back at that and we're like, hey, it was fairly stable. And then the Industrial Revolution, and then we saw rises. And since then, we've seen rises. So we're like, cool, let's just keep it below 2 degrees, because that's when coral reefs will be affected heavily. That's when all stuff will start to really get bad. And China was like, cool, we'll meet our mark in 2030. It's a process. We don't expect America to be that fast. We are the second highest carbon emissions in the world behind China. China's still in. They're building new jobs off this. Solar power in the United States last year was the first year it became cheaper than coal and fossil fuel. You better believe those coal and fossil fuel companies are up there. They have bees in their bonnets and they're going to the lobbyists because they have way more money than solar power. But if you're an investor, go solar power, because over the past, like, Forbes magazine, different people, Fidelity Investments, multiple bigwigs from those companies that are not probably financially conservative, or no, they are financially conservative. They want to keep their money. They have said in 10 years, it's solar power is potentially a 10 times earner, which is huge. Put in $1,000, you walk away with $10,000. Put in $10,000, you walk away with $100,000.
Where is this?
This is solar energy. This is solar energy.
All of us are like,
That's what I'm saying.
I have
like,
$10 right here. You know.
But maybe between all of us.
We'll get in there.
I got the hat. Let's pass
I'm not kidding. This is from Forbes. This is from these different financial institutions that are looking at the solar power industry. And last year was the first year that it was more affordable. Like watt per dollar spent on the technology and the delivery and everything, it's inevitable that the investments are going to move there. I don't know why this makes any sense. Because he's like, oh, it's bringing more jobs back. I mean, it's going to allow policy that is allowing people to get black lung more easily. And let's talk about what healthcare they're going to use to like get help them with their black lung. Mm-hmm. It's just so frustrating. And it was just riddled with statistics that while that number may be true, it did not take into account this or this or this, which were the three benefits, and he was pointing out the one flaw. It was so frustrating.
Well, here's what the other side says. By stepping out of the Paris Agreement, the U.S. will no longer be in a position of having our wealth redistributed to the rest of the world. The gravy train has stopped.
So are they're talking specifically about the Greens fund? I'm pretty
sure. The
Green Climate Fund, yeah. And so what that is it's a fund that is set up internationally for different countries have to contribute based on their contribution of emissions into our world, right? So if someone's smoking in a room and I'm not, I'm breathing in that smoke. So the United States is the second worst
smoker,
and the rest of the world has to breathe it in through not just air, but also like increased heat, different water levels and stuff. And only, let me remind you, this isn't a partisan thing necessarily. This is strangely a Trump thing. 21 senators out of a 52 Republican majority Senate, only 21 of them, less than half, encouraged him to do this. This isn't a party line thing. It might seem like it, but when you get down to the actual letters and stuff, it's not. And it shouldn't be.
And did you see that tweet that what did Spicer say that the Pittsburgh elected him, not Paris? And the mayor of Pittsburgh was like, we support the Paris Accord.
Oh,
Spicer
exactly.
is the leak. I'm telling you. Spicer's the one putting all the leaks out. I mean, there's no other explanation for why he would put up with all of this crap unless he's telling himself every day, somebody's got to stick around to tell the story. Somebody has to be telling this story.
The expose.
That's my theory, man. I mean, eventually they'll fire him anyway. He's going to be the John Dean of this administration. Watch.
So what people, I think, need to see is that what his political goal here is to use this accord or breaking with it to defend his position. So that he can further solidify these voting blocks, which enabled him in his mind to get elected. So, I think what they're doing is like, yeah, this is what we're doing to protect the coal industry. The Paris Accord was punishing the coal industry, and the coal industry is something we need to protect in our country. And I think he's looking at these states that helped get him elected,
right.
And he's sending a message to the people who've been impacted by it. And the thing is, we can argue with it on the totally on the facts,
I know,
right?
I know.
So, but like the facts don't matter in this case.
I understand,
right?
But here's
what's the value. What's the value here?
This is something that's interesting that I found also today. Five of the states that are now like Kansas in 2005 relied less than 1% on renewable energy. Kansas is now is 30% renewable energy.
Right.
The top five states that have gone to solar and wind all are red. So those states will see ultimately that their jobs are affected by this. And so in my mind, it's not necessarily a great move.
Why do you just, you know, try to wrap yourself in facts, Michael? I mean, facts.
Well, no, but what I'm saying
I'm kidding.
Oh, those people, I think, are going to see it. Yeah. Those people are going to see it in their lives because they're actually affected positively by investing in renewable energy.
It's their last gasp, literally, that industry's last gasp, because there's so many alternative forms of energy that are out there that are starting to dominate that market.
Right? So they I was reading stuff. Coal's dying.
Those jobs ain't coming back.
We'll come back after this. More after this at 720 WGN. Yeah.
Wrong to have an obsession with wanting a happier life and having happier dreams? Isn't it a bit extreme to deem a mass population of people rapists, murderers, and drug dealers based on the actions of a few? tired of the news they're selling, saying anything they can to make it so compelling. It makes me feel like yelling, but instead I'll start spelling H-O-P-E.
You are listening pretty late. That's Brian Quijada. And Where Do We Sit on the Bus?
Do you have a little piano man in that?
I do.
That's so
it's a little mini piano.
It's, it's an homage. It's
an homage to a piano.
Mr. Quijada.
Mr. Quijada. That is Mr. Brian Quijada. He has two more performances at Victory Gardens Theater. Where Did We Sit on the Bus? Exploring Love his it. Heritage, talking about multiculturalism in the United States. We also have Senator Dan Katowski, the president and CEO of ChildServe. Go to childserve.org for more information, how you can help, volunteer, donate, get involved, be informed. And that's ChildServe, childserv.org. They left the E off because
the work is not done yet.
The work is not done yet. We also have Representative Will Davis of the 30th District passing some important legislation yesterday when it comes to reforming. Is it reforming how the way education is funded?
The mechanism by which it's funded, there hasn't been a tweak to the education funding formula in 20 years.
And it's been 20 years since we've
20 years since anything was touched.
But, you know, Will, you're not just reforming for the sake of reforming because it hasn't. What you're doing is you're investing in kids, right? You're making sure kids get the fair shake so they can
able a more
to
equitable way of distributing dollars.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
We also and that's what, you know, a lot of the struggle that we're in. We talked about this earlier when it's the pressure on maintaining the property tax, which is why the governor has said freeze the property taxes, which means maintaining them at the highest levels in the country.
That'll absolutely destroy communities, destroy taxing bodies. Property tax freeze is the absolute wrong way to go.
We need property tax relief.
Relief. Let's bring it down a little
restructuring
bit.
Education is a step in that direction.
Well, that means the state needs to step up and do what it's constitutionally mandated to do and provide the majority of the money.
So there you go. See, and it's all, Michael, this is all involved because if we can educate people, maybe they will understand science.
Hopefully.
And history, right, Adam Salzer?
Yeah, history.
History,
that too.
History, science, all those things.
Math, science, history, unraveling the mystery.
But today, did you see that 61 mayors have signed down in the United States to still be part of the...
I didn't see that, but I saw that there were movements toward, hey, let's figure out who wants to be a part of it, and we're just going to sign our own, our own things. And I think that that's something to be taken in here in Chicago and all over the nation is whatever happens nationally, you can really change it locally. Mm-hmm. You have a huge voice. And in California, their renewable energy is off the chart. They actually have problems with competing companies sniping customers from each other. But it's that's them doing business in a kind of a way. But it's actually all clean energy. No one's getting black lung. No, it's wonderful. So locally, you can really push for your city, your state to pass some of these things.
This is why I go to Springfield. This is why the show goes to Springfield, is that locally is where things are most impactful, most directly will affect you. And that's why I've been showing up for the last 3 years, because I saw it happen to people within days after the funds that were cut from different programs across the state.
The infamous Good Friday Massacre.
Yes. And Senator Katowski. Oof. The hill, he said, this is the hill I will die on. Mm-hmm. That was, you made me cry. So thanks for that. Appreciate it. It was a good speech. When you invest in people, you save lives.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'll just quote you to you. Is that all right?
That's fine. I'd like rather you quote me than share
conversations that were never on the air.
Yeah.
I do both. I give and I take. That's all.
It would be a great show though, wouldn't it?
All the stuff we talk about off the air.
We're like secret agents and you're like, I'm not so secret.
I think that just happened tonight.
Is that really a secret? Get over here.
Esmeralda, do I ever do that to you? Like share conversations that you didn't think were going to be on the air? Stuff that we've talked about? I don't think I have.
No, I think just Senator Dan Katowski.
You know
just,
what? I don't know what.
Only you.
Wrong.
You know, here's the thing. Imagine all the things I'm not saying.
I know. It must be so hard for you.
It's impossible.
Yes.
The lid's got to come off once in a while. Brian, are you like that where you just can't, you're like, you know what? This is coming out of my mouth.
No.
You're very reserved.
I'm like this. I actually forget secrets. People tell them to me and I just forget them.
Yeah, but nothing we ever talk about is, are you telling me everything we talk about when we're not?
You know what was great? My mom was, for years, she worked in, she worked for the state's attorney of Cook County. She was like, I could tell her anything. She was like under lock and key, right? Everything was like, Mom, let's not tell Dad this. And she's like, oh, yeah, sure. lockdown, right? And then all of a sudden, like 5 years ago, things started like coming out. I'm like, what are you doing? You're breaking the compact.
You didn't say in perpetuity.
Yes. Right? There's a compact.
You didn't say forever and ever
yeah,
and ever.
Like, oh,
amen.
Yeah. Danny told me. I was like, no.
No, my mom, I would tell my mom, and by the way, I know my mom is going to listen to the podcast, but I would tell her stuff and she, I won't judge your father, I promise. And then like she'd get mad at him for something and then like share whatever it was that I'm like, well, how is that? Why are you throwing me under the bus for something you're mad at him for? Well, he doesn't make enough money to be helping out. That's why you have to do other things and he should be helping you.
So that's how your mother sounds?
That's how my mom sounds.
My mom was a secret sharer in just out of her own entertainment. And it would always be like at a PTA or something, just like, well, Michael here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Mom, she's like, they don't mind. Hers was, they don't care. They don't. And I'm like, clearly they do. They're all giggling. Like,
yeah, I care, but you care, right?
Yes, I care.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to take a break for the news now and find out more about some of the tours that Adam Selzer has coming up. Well, don't forget, go to victorygardens.org to go see Where Did We Sit on the Bus. There are two more performances, Friday and Saturday at 3 p.m. Do you have dance class? I still have that video. I haven't been able to stitch together.
No, that's fine. We've closed out.
Oh, my God.
It was sold out. It was awesome.
Oh, well, there you go, because of the video I never posted.
Yes, it was all amazing. Right. Thank you.
Excellent. I got punched in the face. Yep. I literally got, they had me come rehearse, and I got punched in the face. I was going to try to stitch that video. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Senator Gutowski is being really funny off the air, but I can't tell you anything about it because he doesn't want me to talk about those things anymore.
That's so wrong.
He was absolutely brilliant.
Being misportrayed. Misportrayed.
That's Senator Dan Gutowski, now the CEO and president of ChildServe, helping children live happier and healthier lives, reach their potential.
Can we talk about why you like the girl in Logan so much? Can we just put it out there? Can we air it out?
In the movie Logan? I didn't say anything about the body count.
You it was massive.
I loved it when they drive through the fence and they have the barbed wire and they're just dragging it back.
That was cool.
That was amazing.
That was cool.
So
other
many,
than the,
so
like,
many good kills.
The 1,000 bodies that she left. You know?
It was surprising, wasn't it? Yeah. Which is like, it just like heads are coming off.
It was crazy.
It was ridiculous.
Oh my God!
There's have you not seen Logan?
No. Spoilers, guys. Spoilers.
Didn't you do that when you were 9? I thought it was like part of growing up.
Yeah. It was part of growing up. I
maybe
did.
Just
I, had, like,
a, I was just in the bad part.
Huge
of the
knives world. Attached to my fingers.
So the question is: did she get the talons like
yeah.
he got
yes.
them?
Yes.
Like, injections?
Yes.
Oh no!
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, oh wow!
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was—it's different.
So who is her mom? Who is her mom?
Well, she's kind of
human.
I wasn't about to share.
As it was,
you gotta see it, and you gotta give you a window into why Patty needs.
Well, I need Wonder Woman tomorrow.
I need Wonder Woman to help you through this. Okay. I'm looking.
I'm very excited.
In that, search of a heroine.
I wonder if they have anything where they at least play because you know that spinning around in a circle that was Linda Carter's move. Like they were trying to think of a way to transition from from Diana to Wonder Woman, and that was her idea because she was a dancer. So she's like, what if I spin?
Oh,
so
really?
Isn't that kind of cool? She did a lot of her own stunts. When she's holding onto the helicopter, like she did that. That's Linda Carter. Yeah.
Do you know they met each other recently at
the
opening?
Oh, they're yeah. they've a couple times. They've
Linda
met
Carter
at,
still looks. She
amazing.
Looks nice.
She's
looks
on
nice.
The list too, Dan.
Yeah. She is on that laminated list. She's on it. Honey, if you're listening, LC's on the list.
What kind of movies do you like, sir, Representative Will Davis of the 30th District?
I got a laugh. Comedy.
Oh, you have to need a good laugh.
Action stuff. You know, I can't get too much with the drama.
No.
I'm not a horror fan at all.
I like horror movies. My mom, my mom has never seen the movie. We're trying to get her to watch it this summer. We want her to see Jaws. She has never seen the movie Jaws.
You know, it's funny. We're taking my grandmother to SeaWorld in Florida because she's never seen a shark. I'm not kidding. We're doing it next month.
Well, maybe she should watch Jaws,
first. No.
The Cincinnati Aquarium is a petting zoo for sharks.
Is it really?
She can actually pet
a
shark.
I don't know if grandma wants to pet a shark.
Oh, come on. Let her pet a shark.
Yeah.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Maybe this is her last What, Grandma? No, we can't go anymore. She's going to jump in the tank.
Look out.
I know what she's doing.
Yeah, what a way to go.
My mom went to go see, she saw the beginning of Jaws, and when they started going dun-dun, and the music started, because you see the like the legs kicking. I was little. I was very little when so but my parents took me to see this movie when I was like, I remember it because all I remember the little, you see the legs kicking and the camera's coming up underneath the swimmer and you hear dun dun. My mom goes, okay, let's go.
Shit out of it, really.
That was it. That's all I had seen in the movie. Not even like you would imagine, like when the body starts jerking around, like maybe that was when we would go. No, just dun dun.
I have probably seen that movie about 75 times.
Come over and watch it with us.
Oh, it's so good.
I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through.
Oh, it's so good.
I feel like we have to watch it to watch my mom.
Yes.
It's a masterpiece.
Totally. You know, I have to find some place to watch it on a bigger screen.
Does that cage go in the water? Shark in the water?
Oh, it's a good movie.
Fair
it's...
Spanish lady.
What are you?
That's a line from Jaws.
See, sometimes I don't have to talk. You're right. I don't have to share anything that happens off the air because you do just fine on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome, I guess. Sir. Adam Selzer joined us in studio. He is a tour guide, historian, and has some new H.H. Holmes walking tours.
Yeah, H.H. Holmes, the guy we refer to as America's first serial killer. He was a swindler first and foremost, up to all kinds of stuff in the Loop. So this Sunday the 4th and next Sunday the 11th, they'll be doing walking tours about his career here in the Loop. You can get tickets on MysteriousChicago.com.
Is this the guy from...
The Devil in the White City.
Really?
Yeah, I just put out a biography of him called H.H. Holmes, The True History of the White City Devil. Came out about 2 months ago now. It's gotten rewritten up in the Washington Post, New York Times now, Rolling Stone a few weeks ago. I sent 5 links to my mother.
you were in Rolling Stone?
I was in Rolling Stone. So,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
That's awesome.
Now
that's
you've
impressive.
Made it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and featured on WGN Radio.
WGN Radio, yeah.
Oh, been, that's Patty right, Baskin. Bucket list.
I've been doing a lot. Getting into a lot of fun press for us. So, yeah, there's walking tours the next couple of days. There's a History Channel show starting this summer that I'm on a few episodes of.
That'd be cool.
Did he do his pharmacy stuff here in town? Like, I'm just curious what the Loop stuff.
He bought a lot of stuff from a couple of wholesale druggists here in Chicago, who he then never paid back.
Yep.
Naturally. So. But yeah, he was involved with the Peter Van Schack druggist here in the Loop, and also the Morrison and Plubber wholesale drugstore supply business here.
Morrison and Plubber.
Holmesy.
He pulled the wool
over both of whom ended up suing him several times.
How many lawsuits did he rack up?
In Chicago, in the legal archives here, I've found about 60 different lawsuits that are about him. Usually he puts somebody else's name on top of the paperwork, so you have to know all the peripheral characters to look up. There are probably more of them that I haven't found, but at least 60.
Wow.
How'd you get interested in his life?
I was doing, about 10 years ago, I was with one of the ghost tour companies that wanted me to start doing Devil in the White City tours. And I realized there wasn't really enough material for the whole tour out. There was a lot of stuff when I had to just pad it out with other things. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go dig up more material. And found out in the newspaper archives at the library just how much ink was spilled on this guy back in the 1890s. There were like interviews with every neighbor he ever had, everybody he had ever talked to.
But wait, I thought he was caught way after.
They caught him quite a while later.
Yeah,
they caught him it wasn't like years and years and years ago. It was like months and months later.
Okay.
So everybody was still hanging around. I mean, when they started bringing the story back in the 1940s, and a lot of the stuff we think we know about him now is really just stuff from tabloids and pulps in the 1940s, but a lot of the major players from the case were still alive at the time, and just nobody thought to talk to him about it.
Right, because you don't know what's pertinent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the 30s when they were first redoing it, Sergeant John Norton, the detective who had been in charge of digging up the castle building, as they called it, was the chief of detectives by then. He was still with the police force 40 years later. And in the wrap-up of his career, everybody had kind of forgotten he was ever involved in the Holmes case. They talked about him, like, fighting against Al Capone and going against Carl Wanderer and the Ragged Stranger murder. But the Holmes stuff was totally forgotten by them. It was like a whole other era to people.
What do they estimate how many people he killed?
People, at the time, he confessed to 27. Half a dozen of them were still alive at the time, though. A more realistic figure is probably 9 or 10.
Wait a minute, I'm right here. You totally didn't kill me.
Oh, yeah, there was actually a woman like marched into the police station, banged her fist on the desk. I wish to issue a statement. I have never been murdered. Not by H.H. Holmes, not by anybody else.
What?
Here's what we know.
A realistic figure is probably about a dozen. People like to say, in the 40s, people started saying it could have been as many as 200, and now around Halloween it can get up to as many as 2,000. But 9 or 10 is probably a more realistic
figure. So, yeah, even he killed less than that Logan girl. In the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Mic drop. More for this on 720 WGN. I mean, just what a most, one of the most brilliant musicians, composers. I mean, is that that's John Williams as well? Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's great.
Everything.
So
he's
does the Pirates of the Caribbean, too, right?
Does he?
Yeah.
No, that might be somebody else. No. That might be
definitely
Hans.
Did Harry Potter.
Hans.
Oh, real. You're right.
All Hans the Star Zimmer. Wars movies. Yep.
Yeah, John Williams.
He did Beaches too, right?
Indiana Jones.
You are the wind beneath my wings.
He did Powder. Did he do the music for A Hard Day's Night?
He did Powder.
Most recently, Mamma Mia, I think.
Starship Troopers. He did. He was supposed to do the killing music to Logan.
I knew you were going to say Logan.
The killing music. Yeah,
you lost your pace on that. The killing
music. I did. It took me a while to get it. What was that movie again?
It was with the girl and the blade.
You know, that was the kindest like rejection though of like a wrong answer. Nah, I don't think so. Nah. You know, you could have been like, nah, you're wrong. You're an idiot.
We kind of looked around to be really like, nice. Right? He's okay. Yeah, no, okay.
No.
He's really been on tonight.
Anyone else could tell him he's wrong? Anybody? All right, we'll just all do it at the same time.
The guy had a title at one point, you know?
Senator. I still call you Senator. You were the one that, by the way, Representative Will Davis said I just call him Will, and I was like, I can't do that.
No,
but
he won't let you.
No,
he's Representative. Really?
It's such a mouthful, Representative.
I know.
Representative. You know what I feel uncomfortable with? I saying ma'am to the legislators that are, well, to the women, because like, because women take ma'am differently than men take sir, right? I mean, yeah.
Ma'am.
Exactly.
That's it sounds not, like you're irritated with
miss. I mean, like, what, I mean, do you, I don't know. It's just
how about just saying, excuse me? No. May I speak to you? Ma'am?
Thank you.
Hey,
you. No, but I always feel like, because I'm always saying,
lady!
Thank you, lady. I'm also doing that. Lise, don't you think being, thank you, lady. Thank you, lady. It's not the opposite of sir, though, is it?
But do you say
dame?
Sir?
How about damn? I do say sir.
You don't
all
say
the
senator?
Time.
Lady?
I say sir. I do say sir a lot.
You would say sir to say
representative?
Excuse me, representative.
I do, but like if I'm leaving, I'm going to say thank you, sir, instead of thank you, representative. Oh. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, you,
like in passing.
It's
like
too
closing.
Cumbersome.
It's a little cumbersome.
Thank you.
But I say sir to senators. Okay, I have to tell you, sir. This is my favorite thing that's happened in Springfield ever.
I hope it doesn't.
I was outside of Senator Kwame. What's his last name? Kwame Raoul. Kwame Raoul. Well, and you know why I'm having trouble with it? Okay, everyone, if you have not seen or heard the interview with Alfred, oh my gosh, what's his last name? Alfred Klinger, who is the 91-year-old retired doctor who marched from Chicago to Springfield. 91 years old. He walked over 2 weeks to protest at the governor's office. An incredible interview, and it's one of my favorite things I've ever done. I got goosebumps. And all my present company, except I love talking to you guys all the time, but this man gave me goosebumps. He was served in World War II, was shot in the neck, and was telling me that the men who died around him, he had just been playing poker with an hour before, and he marched with Martin Luther King Jr. He has been fighting for health services for kids all over the Chicagoland area. But so he told me he couldn't remember. He knew that his representative was Barbara Flynn Curry. And he was like, he said, and my senator is, and he couldn't remember the name. And he said, it's not Barack Obama, but something like that. well, he's 91.
Yeah, exactly.
To.
Yeah, right.
But I was like, I didn't know what he was talking about. And they said, Raoul Kwame. So I ran around the building trying to find Senator Kwame, Raoul. And because I always think Raoul sounds like a first name. That's why I have trouble with that. Kwame sounds like a last name.
Raoul Julia, right?
Raoul. Yeah, exactly.
Raoul Julia.
So I couldn't find him. He wasn't on the floor of the Senate. And then Senator Cullerton told me that he was probably in his office. So I run down there and somebody else was making dinner plans. And I was like, oh, where are you guys going? And the guy turned to me and goes, it's only for members. And I was like, that's fine because I'm press or media. And but I ended up in the same restaurant anyway. Senator Cullerton was like, you know, I was walking with him. We were talking about what was going on, whether or not the House would pass the budget. And I walked in the restaurant and they all invited me to sit down. But the kitchen had closed. And I was no big deal. I was going to go find something to eat somewhere else. And they wouldn't let me leave. And every senator at the table cut something off their plate and made a plate of food for me. It was the coolest thing. Wow. I was like, and they wouldn't let me walk out. They were like, it was like being in like a family. That
I tell you, that wouldn't happen at the house.
It was really cool.
Give her some pretzels. Oh, that's
yeah.
too bad.
Too bad, yeah.
Give her some pretzels and some dipping sauce. She'll be fine.
They wouldn't let me go. It was Senator...
Is there some bread and butter left from earlier? Just slide it down to the end of the table.
Would you like some water?
They laid out a napkin for me. It was Senators Monroe, Harmon, Collerton. It was Kwame Raoul was there. It was really... It was one of my favorite moments. I was like, no, you guys, I'm fine. And then they told some great... I didn't know you guys used to have a plane with... The Senators used to have a plane from Chicago to Springfield. You guys used to be able to travel by plane.
There's a plane that people can get onto. I think after Rita started, there's a state plane, mm-hmm. but there wasn't like a specifically a senator's plane.
I didn't mean a senator's plane, but there was a legislator's, state plane.
Yeah, there was a state plane. Yeah.
Right. And they had some stories, and those I will leave off air.
I never wrote on it.
If there weren't any stories, I'd be horribly disappointed. I'm picturing like the Led Zeppelin plane in the 70s, man.
That's a tin can in the air. I wouldn't rent it.
Well, and also I'd heard that like you would get cornered by other people who wanted to get you on their bill and things like that. So you like somebody would filibuster the entire flight.
Everybody else was too drunk, so who cared?
No, I don't know about it.
Don't realize you have a memory like a steel trap. Tell Patty this story. Sounds like a good idea.
Let's tell her we had an airplane once.
No, I think people knew you had an airplane.
I hit the body. What?
Anyway, it was
funny.
You say I went too far? You say
no,
I went
no,
too
no,
far?
No, no, I don't think so. No, that's it. That
yet.
Was interesting. There is no more state plane. That legislators are riding on anymore. The people would, and it was something. If you've been a legislator for a while, you'd get first dibs and taking the plane home. To me, it wasn't like a perk,
right?
No, because I was like, why am I going to fly up in that plane that's made out of like it's like a MacGyver plane? It's like shoestring and bubble gum and tin cans and. You know, and
the reality is that if the governor wanted to take out the speaker, that was probably the best way to go. He's the one that axed the planes.
He yanked the planes?
He yanked the planes.
Oh, there he goes. There you go. There goes your chance. Wow. I like the tone of that. It was like if he'd wanted to do something nefarious.
So in reality, when you think about it, the cost for the travel reimbursement going back and forth is probably more costly than it is for a group of people to be on a plane.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's like a 45-minute,
flight.
Plane ride. Yeah.
It's like if you get the
plane's already paid for.
Right. Train tickets are $20 in each direction if you get them on time. Yes. I'm just saying.
Do you have your own train car right now?
Yes, that's what I do.
Your train car, you're singing?
I do ride Amtrak. Ooh, anxiety. There. Do you ever ride Amtrak, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of love it.
I like it, too. Yeah. Got to go get a little, they sell alcohol there. You can get some Irish coffee.
They don't check your bags too carefully, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I don't think...
Okay, let's not give anybody ideas.
Yeah, I was just like, wait a minute. I used to ride trains to and from college every break. I loved it.
I absolutely loved it.
My favorite way to travel.
Where'd you go to college?
In North Carolina. I went to Duke, and so I was commuting back to Daytona Beach, Florida, hence taking Grandma to SeaWorld next month. But yeah, it was great. Fall break. It was like an overnight 8-hour thing. It was wonderful. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah, I love taking. I like taking Amtrak. Well, I get a lot of work done.
We took the train all the way from San Francisco back to Chicago recently with the boys.
How was that? Did you get sleeper car or just
sleeper? Yeah, sleeper car.
How big is? I've never done the sleeper car.
Well, it's big enough where you can we could get I don't even know I didn't like take a tape measure out, but it's a decent size.
For four people,
is it plush?
Well, there's it's not really plush.
No,
I gotta tell you something. You get rid of it's really jostly at night, and the one thing I had a tough time was like you're going through like the Rockies, and you're like because it's like what? How do these people build this train track that's like 3 inches from the edge?
Right.
And how is the train able to traverse that? And to me, that was a little bit nerve wracking. You're like reading your magazine, like, okay, hope we make it. Deep breath, through it, And then, but it was fine.
Sure.
It was fine.
For now.
But but it's like, it's a nice way to travel, but it's also it's more difficult to sleep at night than you would think.
Right.
Because I think they go faster at night. And I think you're more aware of it. And I don't think they've changed the shocks in like 45 years, right?
I used to book gigs in North Dakota. I used to take the train from here to Minot, but I didn't have enough money to get a sleeper car. So the Sightseer Lounge. Did you have a train with the Sightseer Lounge?
Yeah, yeah.
So they used to let it, I don't know if they still do this anymore, but I used to bring a sleeping bag and we would just sleep along the floor, along the windows, like in front of those like benches. And yeah, we would sleep on the floor, like not in the middle of like the path, but yeah.
I never had a sightseer lounge. Is that just like an upper level where you can look out and see everything?
Well, it's dome too, so it's all like it's all windows. What? It's really cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. It's cool.
I highly recommend it.
We didn't have that. We weren't going across countryside. We were going town to town.
Right.
And like,
The one to Springfield doesn't have a sightseer lounge.
Yeah.
No.
You want to see that big mountain?
I think Brian's thinking about the next show. Where were we on the train?
In
the dome.
Yes.
Right. It's like, where are we going?
I wanted
good pictures from the dome. Absolutely. They come out pretty clearly, except for like a big bug that smashed.
Yeah.
Bug out.
They're not out there with like the squeegees, like while you're riding on the train.
But our kids slept in the smaller berth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I had the bigger, I don't know what it's called, the bigger room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice, you know, we just sit and read.
Isn't the dining car better than you would think?
It is.
The food is really good on Amtrak.
You know what, here's the great thing about this. The Amtrak, I think we'd all agree with this.
We're talking about different Amtrak.
It's in the same genre of Transylvania 6. 5,000 or whatever. Awful.
Transylvania 90210, is that a thing? Like the Night Shift?
Night Shift was great.
Oh, I'm talking
night
about...
Night Shift with Michael...
it's not Mel Brooks.
Michael,
I thought it was written by
Michael
him. Good.
Michael Keaton, yeah.
Michael Keaton.
And Henry Winkler.
That's right.
Right? I love that movie. Prostitution, when he does the whole... Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I was right. I was wrong about that. I'm sorry. What were you talking about?
I was thinking about John Williams and what a great job he did. Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. Nailed it.
Have you seen the latest the Pirates of the Caribbean? Are you going to see it?
Yeah, Dead Man Tell No Tales or something like that.
Well, they actually pronounce it the Caribbean now.
Did I say it wrong?
they've totally changed it.
What did I say? I changed my mind.
Totally
is it Gala or Gala?
Sorry, you're Joliet.
Is it Confefe?
Kofifi.
I still don't know.
Esmeralda? Joliet or Joliet?
No, it's Joliet.
Joliet.
I used to get in trouble in college for
that. It used to be Joliet.
No.
Don't say no.
I can just look at you now.
That's an improv no. Why did I say no? That's an improv no.
But I'm going to say no to fake news. I can just look at you and just tell now. I'm like, no, I've gotten to know you well enough where I can see you like staring it down like, no, they're believing it. They're believing it. It's like no one's buying it.
Esmeralda. Whatever, Juliet.
No, there was a second of
it.
Hold on, Esmeralda was founded by Louis Joliet.
Boom.
But it was never called Joliet.
I know.
No.
I know.
No, there nobody's down there. Yeah. Joliet. No.
How great would that
be? I think
we
should start that.
That's
Joliet.
Like papier-mâché, right?
There's a mall down there. No one's calling it the Louis Joliet Mall.
I know they're not. That's why it was... trying to be funny. Thanks, Esmeralda.
No, you're fine.
No.
She wasn't going hammering on you. She was hammering on me. I was the one that was being goofy.
No,
about it.
That's
fine.
Okay.
Don't take it personally.
I'm very...
Was he like this when he was serving?
I'm
going to
go hitchhike on the way home.
He needs some more cookies.
He needs some more cookies. I have some Milanos in the drawer over there if you want some.
Do you really?
I do.
You're a pusher.
I am a little bit
you're
of a pusher.
You're a sugar pusher.
That was the other thing is that Senator Connolly's like, when I come back on your show, because last time he was here at like steak or something. I'm like, that never happens. Just that one time you happen to be here. I'll bring you steak next time, sir, I promise.
Will's, you get Will's like fudge stripes.
He's got an empty container of fudge stripes.
He's got crumbs.
Michael, did you ever hitchhiked?
No, but as you guys were talking, it made me remember my mom, though, was incredibly gracious to hitchhikers growing up. And so,
while you were in the car?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I know.
And we lived in kind of the bad town next to Daytona, Holly Hill. And I love it, but... we lived off the road called the Dirty Derb. It was Derbyshire is the technical name, but Dirty Derb. So yeah, she was really nice to people, and it was alarming as a child, but it kind of taught me, like, as a grown-up, they're going to be fine. Just trust that everything's good, and you're a good person. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. But yeah, it was freaky. People that were clearly, like, on drugs or something, mentally handicapped, which is wonderful, but also jarring for a child, you know, because you don't know what's going on. You don't know that it's a mental handicap. You just don't know. But yeah, that was an interesting experience. Usually when it rained, whenever it rained, she'd pick up anyone she saw.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough to see somebody walking in the rain. Just
I know.
I don't have a hard time with that.
My dad would bring people who are homeless home for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yep. Same.
And my mom was like,
"That's great."
What? And my mom's super like giving.
She's like,
she was in the convent and she was like, "What are you doing?" It's like, "They're hungry." You know,
dang, so I've learned so much about you today.
Yeah, haven't you? You knew a lot about me too.
I'd love to have you back again, representative.
This is like the pool of truth. This is where it's shared. Right?
Let's take a break. We'll wrap up the show in just a moment on 720 WGN. I think we're all kind of bopping a little bit. Representative Will Davis is like,
Well, I mean, I'm an 80s kid, so I'm cool with this.
Is that an homage to Joe Jackson right there? Was that him on
No,
stage?
That was me doing a horrible version of the robot.
Wow.
With it's hands way out here.
Yeah, right? Well,
it's a very different kind of robot.
It was like the Joffrey Ballet meets the robot. It was great.
It was in sync to the music.
It was awesome.
Yeah. It hit all the accents.
I thought you had seen Joe Jackson live, and I was like, wow, is that how Joe Jackson performs?
Hope not. Jeez.
Yeah, right?
It would be good, though.
Now, of course, you know, when you said Joe Jackson, I was like, the Jackson's fine?
No, Joe Jackson. That's
Joe Jackson, man.
Stepping out.
All right.
That's a great song.
I'm not – Lise agrees with you as well.
Is she really going out with him? Great song as well.
Are you a fan, Lise? Join us. Can we hear you now? I can hear you now. Can we all hear you? Hello, Lise.
Hi.
Hi. How have you been, by the way? I'm sorry. It's been so busy tonight. I haven't even checked in with you.
That's okay.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm taking an Amtrak in the morning, actually.
Where
to Champaign.
Sleeper car?
No, unfortunately.
Don't.
Food car.
I will be sleeping.
Snack car.
What are you headed to Champaign for?
My best friend lives down there, and we're going to go to Allerton and run a little bit. We're running a 5K. At Lincoln Park Zoo on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah. Get it.
Nice. So, yeah, we'll see.
I don't like to run.
Me neither.
I would walk it, yeah. Running, like, am I done yet? Can I be done now? I walk, run a block. I do this where I'll sprint a block and then walk a block. I just know if I can just be done at the end of the corner and then walk a little and then I'll do it again on the next block. That's what I do. You know what? The summer was really hot. I would walk in the shade and run in the sun.
I've done that.
I would sprint
100%.
Why do I picture you like running like Phoebe Buffay?
Oh no. Oh man.
I'll tell you something. There is not a bra strong enough for me to run like a gazelle.
Take it easy.
No,
sure. That
it's about an incentive, right? It's even if it's just you can walk in the shade. Like I used to do it, jog to the 7-Eleven. If you jog the whole way there, you get a Slurpee.
Right.
I mean, defeats the purpose of jogging
entirely.
But I did it.
Yes. I haven't been working out. I have not worked out in 2 weeks. Do you get a chance to work out when you're in Springfield?
Absolutely not.
No, I always think I'm gonna have time to do. But
hold on. I don't work out.
Oh, you don't work out.
Clarify.
Whether he's in Springfield or anywhere else,
so busy.
Doesn't matter the location. Did you say everywhere?
Senator, you worked out when you were in Springfield, didn't you try to?
I did.
Yes.
I like to walk at night to clear my head.
It's gotten more dangerous in Springfield, hasn't it, Rep?
It depends on what side of town you're walking on. It's the same dynamics.
If I'm walking, I walk around the Capitol.
I had an incident. I was stupid. I haven't told you this story. The state police, the Capitol police. Whenever I leave, they're like, "Oh, well, they know where I stay, and they'll like, we'll watch you to the door." And I was like, and so this time they were like, "Oh, you're just heading over to that building." I was like, "Yeah, I'll be fine." So I pretended like that's where I was going, but I was actually staying at a hotel farther away. I didn't want them to worry about me. Like, I'm so stupid. But I got to the old state capitol, and this guy was right behind me. And you know, you're like, well, maybe I'm overreacting, right? So I'll just stop, and I pretend like I was taking a picture of the old state capitol, but I turned it on selfie so I could watch the guy go past me. He went past me, stopped, and came back toward me. And so I turned and I walked the other direction. He's like, hey. And then, like, I had to run, like, around the capitol. Like,
come on.
Yeah. So that was like at 2 in the morning after my show's over. So now they offer me a ride when I'm done. I don't do that anymore. Yeah. But there were a couple of shootings in Springfield while I was there.
Right.
Yeah.
Saw those on the news.
Mm-hmm. It's a little dodgy.
It is dodgy.
It's beautiful. It is nice to walk there at night, though, because it's such a great place. I was telling you earlier that I stopped at the Abraham Lincoln Museum and Library. It's really – have you ever been, Brian, to
No.
You guys?
Awesome.
It's
great. Yeah.
Do you get a chance to go over there?
Absolutely.
It's wonderful.
It is.
And there's a gentleman at the membership desk. His name is Chris, but he goes by Chuck Taylor because he always wears gym shoes. So he was really cool. Signed me up for a membership today and met his wife who works in the gift shop. It was very cool. So hi to them. His son apparently dresses up as he does the Joker. So he asked me if I would have him on the show as the Joker. Why so serious?
Really?
Yes. Hmm.
So did you just sight unseen, you're going to have him on?
Yes.
The Joker? Okay, that's cool. Why
not? Like impersonations, not just for Halloween? Like,
yeah.
Oh, so he impersonates the
yes.
Joker.
Amazing. Okay. The Heath Ledger
Joker. So he's going to do that.
Wow.
Exactly. It's good radio.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. He's the best Joker, by the way, Heath Ledger, right?
Oh, yeah. 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 Hands down.
Yeah. Yeah.
No question. Come on. No question.
There's no debate.
It was so good. Yeah. It was. Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes.
Michael Rooker is so good in the second movie. I honestly think he should be nominated for that one. I know. Mm-hmm.
Michael Rooker.
Is he the villain in it?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Well, kind of. Not really. I mean,
okay,
no spoilers.
Not like little girl killing 900 people. Like, don't ruin this.
That wasn't. There was no spoiler. There's just a lot of death.
It happened to be done by a little girl, right?
Okay. With blades that shoot out of
blades.
No.
Fine.
Michael Rooker.
Are you thinking Al Roker?
What character does he play?
He's the blue guy.
He's Yondu. He's great. Yondu. Yeah, he's great.
He steals the movie, I think.
Oh, yes. So good.
He's real. We had him in studio before the movie came out, believe it or not. I know.
Wow.
Some people stop by my studio. I know.
I believe that. Look at this today. What a panoply of stars.
Rolling Stone.
We must.
Rolling Stone. Nailed it.
There it is right there. Yeah.
Jeff Awards. I can't. Broadway.
I can't.
Physicist.
I'm just saying.
Legislator extraordinaire. Has been.
I want to make sure everyone's
left their
plugs in.
Line.
We have Brian Quijada, who is has two more performances of Where Did We Sit on the Bus? And what does your teacher sound like these days?
These days?
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Well,
in the show, do you still
in the
do
show,
it?
She's
did you
like,
change it? Because
Brian, sit down. She's in the show. I think she's from Jersey.
By the way, where did you go to high school? I didn't ask you that before.
Highland Park High School.
Okay. So that's a pretty big high school, isn't it?
Huge. Not huge. It's big. It's big. No, it's big.
But it has an incredible art.
Gary Sinise went to my high school.
Well, there you go.
How about that?
See, you were waiting for me to come back around with famous people that went to my high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were like, I'm not going to get a turn on this.
Gary Sinise, I just saw a show at the Steppenwolf and I had totally forgotten that he's a member there.
Well, he's one of the founders.
Yeah,
They used to do theater in basements and churches.
I don't know why I forgot about that. Yeah, but yeah.
Yes, they're incredible. Michael, I didn't ask you about famous people that went to your high school.
I mean, I don't really, Vince Carter maybe, but like, yeah, Vince Carter went there. We actually have a few that went to my high school and... like actors, someone, I just looked it up because I was like, who else? A guy who was the artist for the new Captain America for all their posters was a graduate from my high school.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a great thing.
Interesting, right?
Adam, I didn't mean to skip you as far as that goes.
The high school thing or what I'm plugging?
The most, we'll plug you as well. Let's plug you first and then tell me who famous people from your high school.
I got a few tours coming up. A couple of A.J. Holmes walking tours and a Graceland Cemetery walking tour. You can get all the information and tickets at mysterioushicago.com.
Excellent.
Last time I looked at the list of famous people from my high school, it was me, a bunch of football players, and David Bruckner, who directs horror films.
Okay.
And I knew him okay. I was in a play with him.
Esmeralda, how about you?
Andy Dick.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have Johnny Weissmuller and Adrian Zmed from Lane Tech.
Ooh. I have David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff is a good one.
That is a great one.
Is he from the area?
Yeah, in LaGrange.
Okay, so, I didn't know he was from LaGrange. And I know we talked about other people, but your high school.
People that grew up in my town.
Yes, but what about your high school?
My high school, the comedian Dion Cole.
Oh, sure. We know Dion.
Graduated from there. And a local talent, Ryan Baker, who was on CBS, the sportscaster for CBS News.
See, nice. There you go. A little bit. Vic, I don't want to leave you out of this. Anybody famous from your high school?
You're looking at it.
Hey!
Tiny high school in New Mexico. So I think I... unfortunately take the cake.
You can have all the cake. That's not that. It's good to see you tonight, sir. Thank you, everybody. Again, we have Adam Selzer. Go to mysteriouschicago.com for all of his tours. Michael Silver, any shows coming up?
Yeah, actually a really cool one. Tomorrow I'm in the Music Armando at I.O., and we have special guests. John Glasser from Parks and Rec. He's Commissioner Jam on Parks and Rec. He's performing with us, as well as Kevin Dorff from Conan O'Brien, a writer and a performer there. So come out to I.O. tomorrow at 8 o'clock. The musical Armando. We got some really awesome talent in there.
Excellent. VictoryGardens.org for tickets to see Where Do We Sit on the Bus with Brian Quijada. ChildServe with performing weekly every single day is Senator Dan Katowski.
We are nailing it. You are Full house, but we're right now we have a bit coming up. We have our mini golf outing.
Oh yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah,
quick,
explains it. And on June 23rd at Mountain View.
Excellent.
It's a very famous miniature golf outing.
I missed it last year, and I completely get.
You should come.
I'm gonna sleep there the night before, so I don't miss.
Jenna Simon, who performed on your show, she's gonna be playing.
She's great.
Hits from the 80s.
Very talented. And Representative Davis, where can people find out more information about you?
Well, I don't have a website.
No.
I'm kind of low tech in that respect.
All right, then. Go to ilga.gov and see his bio. You can watch him when he's on the floor of the house.
Track my bills.
You should be checking. Exactly. Track his bills. Go track his bills.
There you go.
This
track
is Chicago's
my bills.
Chicago's very own.